Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Blake Haynes here with the Fat Boys and the Indian. I'm going to be flying solo on this episode, and it's jam-packed full of college football. We're going to be doing 10 pick'em since we missed last week, and I do apologize for that, but we're going to be doing 10 pick'em picks against the spread this week, along with highlighting 7 different programs in the collegiate football world. Some local, some not, but let's get it rolling. Starting it off, let's go with the Kansas Jayhawks. A 24-17 win over Indiana State. Really come behind victory. You're either on the ship or you're not, it seems like, when it comes to the Jayhawks this season. A lot of support for Les Miles. He's a great coach. I think that he's going to turn that program around. He's got the pedigree. He's won a national championship with the LSU Tigers. I know towards the end it kind of dwindled off there in terms of LSU-type success, but overall I think he's really changing the culture when it comes to Lawrence and that program. Look at all the stuff that's coming in with the new facilities, and it's really going to make an impact. That guy is going to get things turned around. I know it's a slim win against a team that's not really all that great in Indiana State, but still, a W is a W, and it's number one under Les Miles, so that's a big, big plus. The big thing that I took away from this, obviously, there's no Puka Williams. Khalil Herbert didn't look too bad, averaged a little over 5 yards a carry at 5.2. So, he didn't look too terribly bad. But the big thing, I think, is, I know Carter Stanley, he went 20 of 29. He had 241 yards and 2 touches. But, I can't get behind the dude. I'm sorry. The quarterback play, they're just not good. And that's all there is to it. They don't really have the guy on the roster that you look at and you're like, man, that guy, he's a difference maker. So I think that'll change. Les will get somebody in there and it'll be fine. But, some of the wide receivers had some good games. Number 4, Andrew Parchment, he looked good. 8 catches for 121. Had a couple touchdowns from some of the other guys. So overall, defense looked pretty good. Forced some turnovers. And overall, you can't really be. I don't think you can be negative about the win. I know, hey, it wasn't glitz and glams. You didn't win by 4 touchdowns, what have you. But overall, not a bad performance in my opinion. It is one of our pick-ems this week. KU's going to be taking on Coastal Carolina this week, so we'll get to that here later. Our next program is K-State, and K-State rolled against Nicholls State. Not really much of a surprise. Just really outclassed them. Obviously, Nicholls is FCS. They're up there trying to play with the big boys, so... another thing that I want to talk about, a lot of people when it comes to Wildcat Nation, EMA, you want to talk about Skylar Thompson. Dude did not look all that impressive in my opinion, as a whole. He did throw for, 212 and a touch. He was 16 to 22, but overall didn't look that impressive. The running game did though. Gilbert, tore it up, over 6 yards of carry. Burns had over 6 yards of carry. He also had a touch. Harry Trotter, Marhill product, kudos to him. He got a touch. He averaged 5 yards of carry. So, you had 4 different backs who had, 10 plus carries. All 4 had a touch. Skylar did get in the end zone, running the football, but, I don't really know if you want to sit here and say, hey, it's all Skylar's fault. I don't think he's not a bad quarterback. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to sit here. He's head and shoulders above the KU quarterbacks. Let's put it that way. But he just didn't look very impressive against a very, very weak defense. Did put up the long ball pretty well. But other than that, didn't really look all that great. I think a lot of his hindrance comes from the fact that there's not a whole lot of weapons on that side of the, that side of the ball. You got really good running backs, don't get me wrong, but they're not going to, blow your socks off or anything like that. The wide receiver position, tight end position, leaves a lot to want there. I think a lot of that is because obviously the Rising kid got kicked off, but, that's his own fault. Overall, big win. They're in also a game that we're going to be picking this week. They're taking on Bowling Green. They get a pretty big line, so we'll see. But overall, not a terrible game. I mean, huge win for them. So we'll see what happens moving forward. Hopefully Skylar Thompson can, you know, maybe make me a believer in him and put up some bigger numbers. So moving on, we've got the Texas Longhorns. Of course, obviously, I'm, you know, maybe biased here. You know, everybody who knows me knows that I'm a humongous Texas Longhorns fan. But diving into their game against Louisiana Tech, down some running backs, a whole lot of injuries on that side of the ball when it comes to offense. Also losing, you know, several starters from last year. You know, seeing what the new kids got, basically. I think Sam Ellinger looked really, really impressive. Threw for 276 yards, 4 touches. He was 28-38 throwing the football. Looked very accurate with the football. Got guys in space and did a really, really good job. The running game was very lackluster, in my opinion. This was a strength for the Longhorns last year. And, you know, yards per carry wasn't too bad for Ingram. Keontae looked okay. He did get a touch. But overall, it just didn't look as dominant as it did last year. The guys on the outside, you had a lot of playmakers. Colin Johnson had a touch. Eagles had a great game, 2 touches, 3 catches. There was some impressive stuff on that side of the football. Also got some takeaways on the defensive side. Defense looked better, and I know that a lot of people are going to say, well, they gave up 331 yards passing. Well, that's great. They also had 2 interceptions, or I'm sorry, it was 341, if you don't mind, it's not sacks and stuff like that. So, 340. Passing yards and 2 touchdowns, but I mean, they threw the ball 54 times. So, you also have to take that in consideration. I mean, they were down 24-0 at halftime, down 38-0 after 3 quarters. So, I mean, of course, they're going to try to, light it up. The defensive side of the ball did hold, the running game in check. It looked really, really good on that side. I was impressed. Overall, basically, on that side of the football compared to some of the performances last year. Held them to 14 points. That's always great. And really, a lot of that production came from Louisiana Tech in the fourth quarter when starters are out and your second unit's out there giving up some of those chunk yards and chunk plays. And that's going to happen to any team with a big lead. Not everybody Nick Saban's it and, just demolishes teams. I mean, they take starters out. I mean, be smart about it. Our next team is the Missouri Tigers, and what a day for Missouri last week. Really and truthfully, they started off really, really well. 14-0 after the first quarter. It just fell apart on the defensive side of the football. Giving up 27 points in the second quarter. I mean, just absolutely... It looked absolutely terrible, and honestly, I think if you look at it as a whole, I know Kelly Bryant's numbers were awesome. I mean, 31-48, 423, 2 touches, and versus a pick. He also added 20 yards on the ground, but I mean, it wasn't that impressive, really and truthfully. I mean, they ran the ball, 42 times and barely mustered 100 yards and 2 touches. Their highest, yard per carry average was Tyler Beatty, and he had, 3.3. So, I mean, that looked terrible. Defense looked terrible. I know they came back and tried to make a game of it in the fourth quarter. But, I mean, when you're rolling into the fourth quarter, you're down, 34-17 to Wyoming, then there's a problem. The defense looked terrible. We heard, a lot of big things, at least I did, about Mizzou coming into the season. I know that they're on suspension and stuff like that, and they were talking about, this could affect their postseason play and blah, 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 and it's like, well, if you're losing to Wyoming, you're not really losing out on a lot when it comes to that suspension because you look terrible. I don't know how much postseason play you thought you were going to have, but I'm going to go with it would have been probably minimal after that performance. That was absolutely it was terrible. Now let's flip it over to a bigger stage a little bit. Let's go to Alabama. Overall, I thought, Bama looked pretty good, taking on Duke. you know, a lesser opponent early on. I think Duke, you know, played really well. I mean, they held Bama out of the end zone, no points on the board after the first quarter. You know, that slowly changed, giving up 35 points in the next two, and then obviously seven in the last as Duke falls 42-3 to Bama. Overall, you know, pretty Nick Saban performance. Jerry Jeudy went off, 10 catches for 137 and a touch. You know, he had a couple other guys get a touch. Tua ended up with four touchdowns. He had 336 yards total. But honestly, and call me crazy, I know I'm not on the Tua train like a lot of people are. Ryan Barker, the Indian of our podcast, you know, calls me a hater, and that's fine. But I'm just, you know, I've seen enough, I think, of Tua to just be like, you know, is he all right? Yeah. Is he really good at the college level? Sure. You know, sure. But this talk about him transitioning in the NFL and just having a great career, I just don't see it. I'm sorry. I've seen better prospects fail. Let's put it that way. I've seen a Jamarcus Russell fail. I've seen even a guy that I thought he had a big arm. You know, he was, you know, faltered with a little bit of accuracy, but he had good pocket presence. I thought Zach Mettenberger was going to be, you know, something good. And look at that. I mean, you know, people call me crazy for that. Now looking back at it, it's like, how did you believe that? It's like, well, did you see the stats in college? Did you see the measurables? You know, some of those guys like, you know, Ryan Leaf had great measurables, great stats. Tua has great stats. I guess we'll see when it comes to the combine what measurables he has. He's a winner. I mean, he's a proven winner in college. However, you're throwing the guys like Jerry Jeudy. I mean, and some of these cats, it's like, okay, you know, whatever. I mean, I guess we should have looked at every quarterback, you know, that played with AJ Green or Julio Jones or anybody like that and been like, man, those guys can really sling it. You know, they can tear it up because they're putting up numbers. You know, no, you know, you throw for 336, that's great, but Jerry Jeudy has 137 of that. And I guess you could trickle that into the NFL, like, hey, guys like Antonio Brown, I aforementioned Julio Jones with Matt Ryan. I mean, I guess you could trickle that in, but it's not the same thing. It's totally different when it comes to the collegiate level. But a good win. They are, you know, they've got New Mexico State. That's a game we're going to be picking here shortly, and they're going to roll on that one too. So, you know, kudos to them, I guess. Flip side, you know, looking at our last team that we're going to take a peek into and how they played, is Clemson. You know, the number one ranked Tigers, and really and truthfully, when you look at this game, how do I put this? You know, I just talked about, you know, collegiate success and things like that. I think Trevor Lawrence is the best pro prospect to come out in a long, long time. I'm talking better than Andrew Luck, better than RG3, better than these cats that have came out lately. Like, I mean, this guy, I mean, he just looks like he has all the intangibles. Now, as I say that, you know, against Georgia Tech, he had a terrible, terrible game. 13-23 for 168, one touch, first two picks. Kind of looked a little lost, I'll be honest with you. Didn't really pick up on coverages very well. Didn't really dissect defenses, in my opinion. It looked like they had kind of a vanilla offense when it came to the passing game. He did have, you know, Higgins did have a big game for him. But other than that, I mean, it just looked like he looked a little lost. And this is the first time I've ever seen that. So I would say he's going to bounce back. We'll talk about that game against A&M also. But what a game for Travis Etienne. I mean, 12 carries for, you know, 205 and three touches. Lynn J. Dixon also got in, running the football. So did Trevor Lawrence. I mean, it just was complete dominance overall for the Clemson Tigers against Georgia Tech. They won 52-14. I mean, just rolled, really and truthfully. And I think really on the back of their running game. Well, like I said, I think Trevor Lawrence will bounce back this week and have a big week against Texas A&M. Let's look into our pick'em. This week, like I said, we're going to be picking 10 games. Game number one is going to be Syracuse versus Maryland. Should be a really good game. Maryland put up a ton of points last week. But Cuse is good. I mean, they're in the top 25 for a reason. The line is, after I just checked, it is going to be, negative one in favor of Cuse. I'm going to go ahead and say that Cuse is going to cover that, though. I'm looking at a 34-30 type game, and I think Cuse covers there. Next game we're going to pick is Clemson against Texas A&M. Clemson is favored by 17.5. To me, I think that's a little high. I know how explosive their offense is. I know that their defense is getting after it, but 17.5 to me sounds pretty high, especially when you think back to last year and A&M about upset Clemson. I know it's at Clemson and it's different. You're not playing in College Station. Plus added fuel to the fire, the A&M, linemen, basically guaranteed an upset this week. I don't see them upsetting, but I do say they cover. I'm going to go, it's going to be right around in the range of 49-35, I'm going to say, so Clemson's going to win by 2 touches, but not cover. I'm going to go with A&M in that. Next game we're going to pick is Bama, New Mexico State. Bama's favored by 55 in this. And that is a ton of points. I mean, a ton. I'm going to take New Mexico State in the 55, knowing that I'm starting out with basically an 8-touchdown lead. Bama's going to roll, though. I mean, you're talking probably a 49-7, 49-3, something like that game. New Mexico State is not a good football team. But give me New Mexico State with the 55. That may be a fool's pick, but you know what? I'm going to bet into it. Next game we're going to pick is Marshall against Boise State. This is game number 4 on our list. Boise is favored by 13 in this. Marshall does have a veteran quarterback coming back. Looked pretty good last week. I'm going to take Marshall and the 13 points as well. I think this is going to be, I do think Boise wins this football game, but I'm thinking, around a 24-17, maybe a little bit more than that, 31-24. It's going to be a touchdown within 10. It's going to be within 10 points, I think. But I do think Boise wins that game, but I am going to take Marshall and the points for this one. Next pick is going to be Miami versus North Carolina. This is game number 5. Really and truthfully, this one for me was kind of hard to pick. Miami is a 5.5 point favorite in this game, but North Carolina under Mac Brown, they look like they're rejuvenated. The program looks like it's in a good place. Once again, biased Mac Brown homer. But I think that North Carolina is not only going to cover and beat the spread here, but I think North Carolina is actually going to win this football game. Miami didn't look that impressive last week. I'm going to say North Carolina is going to win this football game 28-24, something like that. But go ahead and give me Carolina in this game. Next game we're going to jump to is to the SEC. We're going to look at Arkansas versus Ole Miss. Ole Miss is a 6-point favorite in this one, and I'm going to go ahead and say that Ole Miss is going to cover that. I think they win by a touchdown. This isn't going to be one of those, how do I put this, real exciting games to watch, in my opinion. But I am going to say that Ole Miss is going to cover that. Game number 7, we've got Army against Michigan. Michigan, obviously, huge favorite in this game, rightfully so. They didn't look too great last week, but I'm going to take Michigan. I know they're favored by 23 points, but go ahead and give me that. I think they're going to roll big win, 42-49 to probably 10 or so, if that. That's where I'm going to go with that. Game number 8, we're going to come back locally, and we're going to pick the K-State game. K-State is favored by 23 points as well. They're taking on Bowling Green. They had a pretty good offensive night running the football. I think that that's going to continue, and I think that they're going to cover this spread. Not to say that, we'll slow down, K-State fans. I'm not going to say they're going to be world beaters this year. I mean, two really, really lackluster teams are playing here. Go ahead and give me that. I'm going to take K-State. I think Skylar Thompson actually comes out and he slings it around a little bit more, I think, this game. Like I said, give me K-State. Game number 9, we're going to stay locally and we're going to pick the KU Coastal Carolina game. KU is favored by 10, and I am going to be a homer and say that KU is going to cover that. I know they only won by a touchdown against Indiana State, but I think they're going to cover this 10 points against Coastal Carolina. Puka Williams is back. That dude is going to run all over them. I'm I'm thinking three touches for him. Now, whether that's three rushing touchdowns, you know, two and one with one being catching or receiving, rather, I think that they're going to roll in this game. I'm looking up to put north of 30 points, so 31, 35, something like that. I think KU rolls in this game. Defense still is going to look good, I think, this week, so KU is going to cover that. And the last game that we are going to pick is Texas LSU, the game of the week. You know, I've been back and forth about this. You know, like I said, I've got a bias. I'm not crazy to think that I do, you know, or do not at least. But Texas is the home team here. So it's not like they're playing in Death Valley. I know LSU looked really, really good last week. I think, give me the homer pick here. LSU is, you know, is favored by 4 points here. I think that even if Texas doesn't win, it's going to be a 3-point ball game, you know, 1-point ball game. It's going to be in that range. I think that they cover this and beat the spread here, Texas does, if not winning the game. I think that, you know, Ellinger is going to have the boys ready and, you know, locked and loaded. I think Tom is going to have a good game plan for the offensive side of the football. Really look for Eagles to get back involved this week. Maybe a little bit even more usage of the tight end, some screenplays, stuff like that. If Ellinger gets going, I think this is going to be a shocker to a lot of people, because I know a lot of people are banking on LSU. I know the SEC is the SEC and LSU is LSU, but I think Texas is going to pull this one out. And that's all we've got for this episode. Thank you for tuning in, and next time we'll make sure we'll have Derek and, you know, maybe some Tanner and stuff like that on the next episode. So make sure to keep checking us out, and thanks again. Peace.